Welcome to the LifePoint Palm Bay Sermon Podcast. We encourage you to make copies of this message, but please don't charge for those copies. If you'd like to know more about LifePoint Palm Bay, please visit lifepointpb.com.
If you need a Bible, you just wave at one of our ushers and they would be happy to pass one to you. You can turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and 2 Peter chapter 1. Those are the two passages we'll look at this morning. We put the verses on the screen, but I encourage you to look in your own copy of God's Word. So Matthew chapter 6 and 2 Peter chapter 1. And while you're doing that, we do want you to stay. We really, even if you hadn't planned on it. I was asked yesterday, when is adult time on the bouncies? And I say, we do that every year. It's when we turn the power off. That's when the adult time is on there, so you go jump on it to your heart's content. But it's a great time of fellowship, and there are a number of you in here that I met you for the, or got to know you for the first time at one of these fall festivals, where we just sat down, and generally I find a chair and a spot and just plop down. You're welcome to come join, or people move in and out. It's kind of like Grand Central there, you know, but it's just fun. You get to do that, and you can move around and talk to different people. You don't have to stay in the same place talking to the same folks. You can, I mean, that's okay, but you can move around and meet some, begin to ask people a little bit about their life. Here's one of my favorite things to ask people is have them tell me, you know, have you got a God story to tell me right now? You say, what's a God story? A God story is just how God's worked in your life in the past, or how he's working right now, or how he's encouraged you in some way. It's a God story. And so you're able to ask, you could call it a testimony, you could call it a lot of things. But it's really just an acknowledgement that God's at work in our lives. And maybe you say, well, right now I don't feel like God's at work in my life. I love it when I see the body kind of gathering around, and I'll see two people standing off over here, and one's praying for another. I know what's happened there. They've shared a burden. This is what's going on. And the other stop and said, hey, let's cry out to God for that right now. It's a beautiful thing for that to happen. And so please stay with us. And then just enjoy the time together. That's what it's for, and get to know one another a little bit better. All right, Matthew, chapter 6. We're at the end of the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. Really, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Really, the Lord's Prayer is over in John, but this is the model prayer. This is how to pray. There are principles of prayer that Jesus gave us here. Now we're going to get to the end of this today. And some of your Bibles don't have what we're looking at, okay? Some of your Bibles go, and do not lead us into temptation. Verse 13, by the way, chapter 6. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, or from evil. And some of yours stop right there and begin the next verse. Others of your translations say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The reason some translations don't have that is because there are some manuscripts that don't have that. And so a lot of our newer translations leave that out because a lot of the newer manuscripts don't have it in. And there's some controversy among scholars as to whether this was actually part of the original text and what was happening at that time, or was it added sometime later by Christians and kind of a doxology that was put at the end of this. And there's debate over that. I include it because I think it belongs there. I really believe that the Lord had this inspired because it sums up the entire Lord's Prayer. It sums the whole thing up in one little phrase. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to talk about that some today. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to preach much today. Some of you, you'll wait to see it, right? You won't believe it till you see it. I'm not going to preach much today. I want to talk to you a little bit, share a few thoughts with you, but I'm going to have testimonies for you today. We could have many, but we're going to have a few of things, and what you're going to see as you look through that, or as you listen to these testimonies, if you're listening and paying attention, you will see God doing what he talks about right here in each one of these testimonies. You'll see either parts of it or all of it in each of those stories and what God's doing. The other reason that I believe testimonies are so important is because they inspire us to believe that if God can do it through that person, then maybe he could do it in me, because they don't seem that different than me. I love to share with you what God's doing in my life, but let's face it, you know, often I'm looked at as a hired gun, all right? I'm supposed to do this professionally. So yeah, God does things for you. He doesn't do for everybody else. Well, first of all, I'm not a hired gun. I'm just like you. And God does things in my life just like he does in your life. But sometimes it's encouraging when you see someone, they're not necessarily, they're not a pastor, they're not a missionary, they're not in full-time Christian ministry, for lack of a better term. We're all in full-time Christian ministry, by the way. But you know what I mean by that. And so you're going to hear some of that today. You're going to hear some of those stories. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. There's three parts to this. The kingdom. A kingdom has what? It's the root of the word kingdom. Our kingdom has what? A king. Jesus is the king. When we come to the end of this prayer, Jesus is saying, I want you to be reminded again, there is a kingdom that you're part of, and there is a king. And there is a willingness, a voluntary willingness on your part to submit to the king. You gotta be willing to do that. Everything else is dependent upon that. You cannot see what you long to see. You will not see God move the way you want to see him. You won't experience him the way you want to. If you will not acknowledge that there is a kingdom and a king, and you voluntarily submit to that king. He doesn't make you. You willingly do it. There's a king who's over this kingdom. There is power. Thine is the kingdom, the power. The Greek word is dunamis. We get dynamite from this word. It's powerful. It's more powerful than you can imagine. I couldn't help but laugh. When Larry and Wendy Charles came back, they were telling us about the conference they had, the Caring for the Heart conference they had in Maine. And I guess while it was going on up there, they were literally next door dynamite. They were using dynamite to blow up granite, okay? And this happened a number of times throughout the day, and they would sound an alarm and to let everybody know, so you had a few minutes to get away from all the windows and move, you know, move to a safe place, because it shaked the building and the earth and everything else when they would, you know, they'd blow up this granite. And John, if you guys remember when John Regeer was here, John's getting a little older, and he's hard of hearing. And so he couldn't hear the warning the first time it went off. And so he heard no warning, and then there was he heard the explosion when it happened. It shook everything, startled him, made him leave the whole thing. So from that point on, they had to have a little guy in the back hold up a sign whenever the warning went off. They're about to blow something up, all right? But dynamite is that way. It's explosive. It moves things. It moves the earth. What it's designed to do. That's the power. He said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you and me. It's at work in us, around us, and through us. There's power. Often we live like there's no power. But there is great power that's available. He says, I want you to remember there's a submission to the king. There's a power beyond your comprehension available to you. I don't want you to ever forget that. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Glory is going to mess you up a little bit in our idea of what glory is. The Greek word doxa, we get doxology from it. And you think, oh, that's praise. That's what that is, a glory. Praise, glory, worship, we praise. We do, and it certainly has that result, but that's not really the meaning of the word. The meaning of doxa, the root of this, is to think or recognize. As a matter of fact, we would say that we give someone glory because we think in a certain way and we recognize or we admire them, and so we give them glory because of the way we think. So I begin to look at this and realize often we somehow think that there's merit just in, quote, praising. We're just going to praise the Lord. We're going to go through and sing our songs. We're going to go through our ritual of praise, whatever that looks like. It may be scripture that we read that we've identified as praise, or it talks about praising. All of that is fine, but the point of glory is that our way of thinking is changed. Because when our way of thinking is changed, the way we respond is changed. The way we live is changed. He says there's three things that I want to sum up this entire prayer with, and you cannot miss this. There is a king to whom you must willingly submit. There is power beyond your comprehension that is available for you to work in you and through you and around you. And in the process of all that, I'm going to change the way you think so that you think like me. That's what I'm going to do. That's the whole purpose of this prayer. That's the whole purpose of us going through, because we began what? With worship and honor. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. There's the kingdom aspect. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's all about the Father. It's all about the Son. It's all about the Spirit. It's all about the kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then there's give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses or our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us, or our debts as we forgive those who are debtors to us. There's power here at work in provision and in working in us, causing us to forgive and to live that kind of forgiveness. And then there's glory. Where's the glory theme? Because he changes the way we think. Why? Look at the last part of that prayer. He says, remembering that you have an enemy, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. Two kingdoms at work here. Now, here's the thing that I want you to understand. Matter of fact, turn with me before I share it with you. Turn with me to 2 Peter, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. All of the three things that Jesus has in the Lord's Prayer are right here in 2 Peter. You'll see all three of them. His divine power. So which one is that? Power, right? This is not a trick question. So his divine power, which one of the three is that? Power, yes. His divine power has granted to us all things. We talked about this last week. All includes what? All. All things. Well, this is interesting. We should pay attention to what he's going to say next, because he just said that his divine power has granted us all things. Is there any qualification to that? Well, he goes on, that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that you and I need for life as he meant it to be, and to walk as he intended us to walk, to live life the way he designed us to live it, everything that we need, he has granted us by his power. Notice what it says here, through the knowledge. Knowledge is about how we think, isn't it? Remember glory? Glory is changing the way we think. Through the knowledge of him who called us. Look at the word here. Same word used over in Matthew 6. To his own glory and excellence. Do you know what he's saying? He said, I'm working by my power in you. You're willing. I'm working. And I will change the way you think so that you think the way I think. That you see life the way I see life. I will do that for you. Look at verse 4. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of what? The divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. What is he saying here? He said, I've made you part of the kingdom. We submit to the king, but I'm no longer just a subject to the king. I'm now a family member of the king. I am in the kingdom. He has given me his divine nature. So in reality, I'm submitting to a culture. I'm submitting to a kingdom that I am already part of. He has already put into me. Now, I told you a while ago that he told us to pray, deliver us from evil. All right, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Why? Because there are two kingdoms at work here. And your flesh and my flesh naturally think after the king of this world, after the enemy, after the devil. That's the way our flesh normally thinks. All right? So, like last night, you break down in the middle of Palm Bay Road, and it's inconvenient, and it's difficult, and there's people everywhere. And what's really frustrating are other people. It's not you quickly get over the fact that your car's broken down because you have to deal with people. All right? And because they are the most irritating thing. And so, in the midst of all of that, I begin to think a certain way, and I want to respond a certain way. I have thoughts and urges. All right? But they're from another kingdom. They're from the father of lies. But my flesh naturally goes away. I don't even have to work at it. It just comes so natural. Just boom, right there and pops up. But there's another kingdom at work in me, because I have divine nature. Did you know that? I have a divine nature. Goody for me. I have a divine nature. But so do you if you are in Christ. You have a divine nature. Literally, God Himself in you, His nature, His kingdom in you and in me. Why? So that I don't have to submit to that other kingdom. I don't have to live that way. We were there. I knew I had a problem with the car or the van, and I was trying to get it home. And Lori was, she was traveling with me in case there was a problem and try to get to the house. And it didn't make it. But we got separated and all of that. And of course, as the van dies in the middle of Palm Bay Road in the left-hand turn lane with everybody and his brother wanting to turn in that left-hand turn lane, that's where the irritating people came along. Does anybody not know what hazards mean anymore, all right? Do we not teach that in driving school anymore, what hazards mean? Anyway, I don't want to preach it. That's a different message, all right? All right. So, anyway, so I'm sitting there waiting, and then I realized, because I think I got to call a tow truck, because it's dead. I mean, it's going nowhere. It is completely, it won't do, I can't even get it out of gear to roll it out of the way. I mean, it is dead. And so I think, well, I'm going to call a tow truck. So I reach for my phone and realize, oh, my phone is in my car, which Lori is driving. So I sit there and I wait. And in a few minutes, Lori realizes I'm not with her. And so she comes along and she finds me. And she pulls up behind me and turns on her hazards. And I take my phone and do all that. And I call a tow truck. And then I walk back to her. And people are being... And see, me, I want to respond in a very devilish sort of way to people. Lori wants to please people, so she's really worried that they're upset. I'm not worried they're upset. I want to kill them all right? We're very different people in that way, all right? And she's feeling really bad. She's like, maybe I should go. No, you can't go because your hazards work. Mine don't. You need to stay here. So anyway, she goes, maybe we should call the police. And I'm thinking, we don't need the police. I'll take care of these rascals myself. And so she's like, maybe we should call the police. And I thought, I'm sitting there thinking about it. Maybe she's right. I'm trying to listen. Lord, maybe she's right. Maybe I should call the police because it is kind of a precarious place here and all. And about that moment, state trooper pulls up behind me. And I walk up and explain the situation. And he looks and he goes, yeah, this is a really bad place. I said, I didn't pick it, okay? I didn't. If I'd had my druthers, it wouldn't have been right here. And so I walked away from, though he turned his lights on and he... kind of helped direct things there and keep it calmer. And I walked away and I thought, Lord, before I call, you answer. As a matter of fact, Lori just speaks it, just the thought. And I asked him, I said, why did you stop? And he said, well, I was driving actually the other way and I saw you stop there. And he said, I looked and thought, what's going on? And so I just spun back around. And I thought, Lord, I didn't have time to even think, should I call or make the phone call? Before I called, you answered. There is a kingdom at work here in us and around us. But I want to tell you something. It often displays itself in situations that you and I would rather not be in. That's where you get to see the kingdom often at work. That's where you see the power displayed and where you see God's glory come in and He changes the way we think. I want you to hear some of this today. I want to start with Tammy. Where's Tammy? You back there? Why don't you come up here? Because Tammy's happened. Didn't yours happen in a Walmart parking lot? Isn't that where yours happened? At BJ's. Oh, well, that's almost as bad. See, I didn't believe God hung out in the parking lots of these places. But apparently He does. And so, yeah, He is everywhere, but sometimes you doubt it, right, in certain places. But I want you to hear what God did here.
So silly. I went to BJ's, and as is my custom, I parked in a faraway spot. I have a big old car. I like my big old car. I want to keep my big old car for a lot longer than the 22 years that it is old presently. And yes, big old car. So I run into the store, leave my daughter in the car, who's 17, so big enough to know stuff, and not get me in trouble for leaving her in a locked car. And when I return, I find that someone has whacked my side view mirror. Amelia tells me the story. A man with his wheelchair comes up just smacks the car like crazy, stares her down, gets in the truck, and drives off. Not an apology, not anything. So I get a little aggravated. He didn't say he's sorry to you. He didn't apologize. He didn't even know nothing. And so I'm getting offended, and he hurt my car. My side view mirror was dangling. Oh, I'm sorry. So that was the week before Irma, during all the prep time, so it was a great time to have a broken mirror and try to find on eBay or Amazon a new one. It took about 2 weeks to find one. A tremendous amount of money, stupid, ridiculous, and it gets fixed. And there it is. It doesn't match. It looks like something out of anime on my very serious old sober car. And every time I looked at it, I'd get so aggravated. Now, I'd gone through the, you know, I forgive him. I forgive that jerk. I forgive him. And God worked through that, and it was just finally, I forgive that man. Still not loving. And last Sunday on my way to church, I looked at it, and I'm like, God, what on earth was that for? We didn't have money for this. We didn't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. But here it is. Every time I see it, I get aggravated. And I felt like the Lord said, maybe it's not about the thing that you think it is. Maybe it's about something bigger. And then I realized I had this pussy, ugly, cancerous pocket of unforgiveness still, even though I'd forgiven him, but I still attributed some ugly towards an unknown man. And I realized in that moment that God forgave me of way more stuff. And that's a picture of my opportunity to do that for someone who I don't know. And while he was still sinning, Christ died for me and forgave me so I can forgive the nameless, faceless driver of the red truck. But truly, I have. And now when I look at that, even though it doesn't match, and that used to bother me, I see it as a trophy of grace, God's reminder that his forgiveness is all sparkly and shiny, and it's mine, and I can extend it. So.
Well done. Did you see it in there? Did you see a submitting to the King, his power at work, and a change of thought? I'm telling you, folks, God's doing this every day in our life if we just pay attention. The opportunity is there every day of our life for us to recognize he's calling us to submit to the King, to be able to see his power do what only his power can do. See, that's part of our problem, too, is we've got a certain amount of power of our own, and so we try to exert that power to fix things. It's so silly that we do that. So silly. He has all power. We have puny power. But I want to use my puny power instead of his all power. And then he changes the way I think. And that's what I love so much about his power at work in us, because that's one of the evidences of his power at work. He changes the way we think. He really does. If we'll allow it, if we'll cooperate with it, he'll change the way we think. It's good to be able to see that. We were joking as I was thinking and asking a couple people to do this, that some of these are they all seem to center around, like my experience last night and Tammy's, and some of these all seem to center around vehicles. So maybe we should go back to horse and buggy, and there would be a lot less pressure and struggle in life. But probably not. They would probably still be there. But I want you to hear another one. Bethany, where are you at? Where's Bethany? And she said she was really nervous. So why don't you give her some applause? All right.
You know, I think so many of us, we look at our lives sometimes and we go, okay, God, I have no clue what you're doing with this. I have no clue. I just feel stuck. About a year ago, last October, I lost more vision than I had ever lost before. I have colobulbum in both my eyes. I'm deaf in my left ear and I wear a hearing aid in my right ear. And I hit a wall and I said, God, I have no idea where you're going with this because everything I believe is gone. A couple months ago, my kids and I were at a Tetra Truck event, and they found one of those awesome city buses sitting there, and they got on, There we go. And it seems like kids are with us on that one. So that was actually a later event. This happened twice, right? And city buses, and they're like, Mom, this is so cool. We got to do this. And I'm like, yeah, no, in a nice way, because you just don't do that. I've been told all my life, you've got hearing issues, you've got vision issues, you don't put yourself in environments where you can't see, where you can't hear, where you're relying on those senses too much. And then Paul came along in art and this evangelism class that I was feeling so deep inside that I should go to. And we sat there the first night and they were talking about this bus ministry that they have. And I've been told about this years ago and I kept on telling God, no, no, not going to happen. The night before, it happens on Tuesdays, Monday night, I texted Paul and I said, what time do we have to be there? So he told me the information. And I prayed and I said, okay, God, I'll go, but I'm not getting on the bus, you know, because that's what we willingly do, right? So I showed up and I did, for some reason, my husband, who's not here today, is sick, but he believed in me so much, he gave me money to board the bus. Yeah. Yeah. So I had the money there. But so the doors opened and I just felt like God is go. I said, okay, God, I'll go on the bus, but I'm going to sit there, and you're going to have to bring the people to me. Okay. So I was there, sitting there, and as soon as I turn around, this lady starts talking to me. She said, what's your name? What's going on? You know, how are you doing? And she said, you know what? I don't know about you, but my husband, he's had all these physical challenges this last couple years. He feels totally stuck, and he doesn't know what to do. And I just don't, he's not totally disabled, but he's not totally, you know, great, and he's just stuck, and I don't know what to do, and I'm going, and God's going, hi, and we talked, and it was the most amazing moment, because for the first time in my entire life, I wasn't doing it. It wasn't about me. It was all about him and how he created me to be, and this has happened. I've kept on showing up and watching God move and do things, and my kids might get to ride on the bus one day, maybe, but my point in all of this is that if you feel stuck today, and you don't know where you're going, God does. God sees you, God knows you, God hears you, and he can do amazing things. Just wait, see, and listen. Thank you.
Well done, good job, well done. There seems to be a theme this morning, doesn't there? God does see you. And those three parts are there. Again, there is, Lord, you're King. I'll submit. I'll listen. I'll believe you. I'll trust you. I'm going to ask you to do, God, what only you can do in your power. And I'm going to believe that he's going to change the way I think. He's going to change what I see. He's going to change how I respond. Folks, when Jesus was laying out the model prayer, it wasn't just so we could say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name, thy kingdom come, thy will. That was not the point. It wasn't so that we'd have something to say when we huddled up in sporting events before we played, all right, or after. That wasn't the point. The point was for you and I to understand that there's a method here. There are principles that he has here. He wants you and I to live this out on a daily basis. And as we're walking through it, we're saying, Lord, I want to submit to you. I'm asking, Lord, I'm choosing to submit. I'm asking you to help me where I don't want to. And Lord, I need power in this. I need your power at work in me to help me believe, to help me trust, to help me step out. Lord, change the way I think. Change the way I see this. You know, we talked about that. Bethany said just a moment ago, and I shared that with you, that word in that Hebrew word in Genesis 22. It can be God provides, or it can be he will see me. It can be translated either way. He does see us. He will see us. But here's the great news. That's just half the story. He changes it so I can see him. That's the good news. He doesn't just see me, but he makes it so I can see him. Over a year ago, we started a journey with Warren and Marjorie. And they're back with us today somewhere. Where are you at, Warren? Where's my yay boo man? He's back. He's there. There he is. I had never heard yay boo until Warren introduced me to it. Now I realize that is a phrase that works for so many things. Yay and boo all at the same time. Yay, I'm excited. Boo, this is terrible. All right. And you can use that almost daily. But God's been at work in them.
And he said, we knew he was coming in. I said, won't you share a little bit about what God's been doing and just how he's working there down at Faith Farms? And you'll see the same thing as Warren shares as well. You're going to see that submitting to the King, the power of God, the changing in the way you think. Warren, why don't you come share? Marjorie, you come too. And I was told if you go too long, I'm supposed to cut you off, right? All right, so that's what they told me.
Good morning, everybody. Before we start, I would just like to say it's so awesome to be back home. And I didn't think there could be more love in a building than when we first walked in, but it's growing. So thank you for the warm welcome, and it's just been awesome, man. So it's kind of crazy. This journey that we're on right now started about 3 years ago, right around this time, underneath that tree, outside, we got together as a men's group, and we started praying. And I remember sharing that I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening in my life, my next venture. So we just started praying. I knew he was calling me into full-time ministry, but we had no idea what that looks like. So we just keep walking it out. So here we are. We're here a couple of years later, and Marge's mom gets to come live with us because she's in hospice care. So we're coming to the end of that rope, and God keeps talking about new beginnings. And still this Faith Farm thing we're going to share with you has not even entered into the picture yet. We really don't even know nothing about it. And so Marge's mom passes away on October 22nd of last year. And Monday, October 24th of the same year, I get the call that my job has been eliminated. And, you know, it really didn't faze me because I guess we were still in the mom, you know, moving on to be with the Lord and comforting Marge and just all that. So it really didn't take any depth in my heart. And but they paid me for 4 months. So we just keep walking it out. Marge knows I'm the kind of guy, if I get a job, I'm going full bore. And we're going to go to work. And we're going to do just what we're going to do. And she won't let me do that because all our kids live in Okeechobee, so she wants to move down there. So 3 months goes by and nothing's happened, and we decide to put our house up on the market, and we do that on the 25th of January. We go down to Okeechobee about 3 days later looking for a house. I end up stopping at this place called Faith Farm. I knock on the door. I get to sit down with the pastor and the assistant pastor, and less than a month later, my house is sold, and here we are living on a 1,500-acre ranch. And they call me farm operations manager. A city boy from New York. but that's just what the Lord does when you let him do. So it's crazy. I got a tremendous background in total dysfunction. I come from a family of dysfunction. And what do you think happens when you grow up? You end up being dysfunctional. But I was a better dysfunctional because, see, I provided and took care of the material things that call you a man in this world, but yet really the nurturing and anything else for my family, I didn't do so well. So at this point in 1996, my marriage is falling apart. I have a 25-year addiction to alcohol, and God calls me into this rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I start getting sober. I get introduced to the Lord. I want to serve him full on. I don't know what to do, so I just start sharing what I have received. So, hold on a second. I just want to open up the scripture here, because this just leads me to a place in Romans. I know we all know it. It's 8:28, but it really didn't mean nothing until it means something. You know, it says this there. It says, and we know that for those who love God, again, that word, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, when you're living in this crazy, dysfunctional world, you don't even know a purpose. I had no purpose. I had no dream. I had nothing. I just survived, if we call it that, every day. So at this point, you know, I step into this world of Christianity, and you think everything is roses and okay, but it's not, you know. Again, my marriage is falling apart. I have 2 daughters who come home out of wedlock with children. I got all this craziness going on, and I still don't know what the scripture means because it's just a bunch of words that people introduced me to. So again, I just want to bring me to Faith Farm. If you guys would start rolling that them slides, and you could just look at them, and this is kind of what we do in the whole of Faith Farm. We get the pleasure of 80 men being on camp. We provide a safe environment that costs them nothing, that they get to be grown and nurtured into the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We take care of every need that they have. But we can never take care of the heart need. We teach them to do the exact opposite of our natural desire, as Pastor Troy was talking about. Our natural desire is whatever I can get, however I can get it, whenever I can get it, that's what I want to do. And we teach them the total opposite, love and patience and tolerance through forgiveness we heard today. And that's what we do. But we get to do that. Going to be my helpmate? There you go. That's why I wanted Marge to come up, because I really don't do this journey without her, let me tell you, because I don't believe that I'm here without, obviously, the Lord, but with Marge not being my partner in life. You know, so what we really get to do today is, I guess, because of all my dysfunction, let me just back up in my life, and because God coming into it, I get to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And I just want to say that, I don't even know what that looks like sometimes. All I know is I walk through stuff and I get to feel that comfort of God every day. And it was amazing walking in here today and just seeing all our friends. But we have a couple of young men that we get to minister with now down at Faith Farms. And they're breaking out and they graduated the program. So I just want them to know that this is what the body of Christ looks like when you step out. And you have to set your opportunity.
I just want to share a scripture. Okay, I hate that thing. That has come alive to me. You know, a lot of scriptures, you know, we hang on to, and they come, but this has truly come alive to me, and it's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. That has come since we've been down in Faith Farm since February of last year. I mean, that scripture over and over and over again has become so alive and real to me, because it's far more than we could ever have asked or imagined. It's amazing. God is amazing.
Thank you. Love you. The power of God at work in us. If we had the time, but we do, because we're not going to leave. We're going to go out there and hang out some more. For you to be able to share, to be able to talk about, share with folks. Let me ask you, when you hear different ones sharing how God's working in their life, does it encourage you? Does that encourage you? Then why is it hard to believe that God working in your life wouldn't encourage someone else? It will. It does. It makes all the difference in the world to be able to share that with one another. Again, we come back to this, a submitting to the King. His power at work in me and for me and through me, changing the way I think, causing everything in my life to give him glory. Everything. No matter what. To come to that place, God, I want everything in my life to give you glory. To cause people to look at him. Just look at Jesus and say, he's awesome. He's incredible. Or if they don't know him, to say, I don't know who that is, but I want to. I want to know. This is the point. I hope you never again look at the Lord's Prayer as just a mantra, just something you pray through, just words that we spit out. The whole concept, The whole heart of God for his kingdom here on this earth is laid out for us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's all right there. Jesus says there's more than you can imagine in these very few verses. But I want it to be more than just something that you memorize and quote. I want it to become part of your life, something that you live every single day. I'm going to ask Lori to come play. I'm going to ask you to do something with me. Would you stand? Would you like God to change the way you think so that you think like he thinks? Is that a desire? All right. Do you believe that his power can do that? Now, see, I didn't get as much response there. I got a lot of response on, yeah, I want to change. Because we know our thinking's messed up because we know how we think. All right? We get that. But sometimes it gets a little harder for me to believe that his power can actually do something about it. So I'm going to ask you again, do you believe his power can change the way you think?
Yes.
Yes. All right? Then are you willing to moment by moment, day by day, say, Jesus, you can be king. You can be king. Even when I don't want you to be king, Lord, I submit to you as king. And I believe your power will change that in me. And when I mess it up, when I don't submit and I go my own way and I do it my own way and you reveal it by your spirit, then I'll thank you that I can still at that point submit to you as king. At any place I find myself, at any point, in any day, I can stop by the power of the Spirit at work in me and say, Jesus, you're king. You're in charge. You're the boss. I'll listen to you. I'll believe you. If you know Jesus today, this is the call of God on you and on me. It's very simple. Jesus laid it out there. It's not complicated. Anybody tell you the Christian life is complicated? It's not complicated. It's very simple. It's also very hard, but it's very simple. Jesus is King. His power is at work in me to change the way that I think so that everything in my life gives glory to him. That is the Christian life. If you don't know Jesus today, then my desire and prayer for you is that you would today before you leave. And we dismiss here in a moment and there'll be a lot of activity going on, but we're going to be around. I'm going to be here. There'll be others here. Pastor Paul over this. If you don't know, you say, I need to talk to someone. I don't even know who to talk to. Find one of us wearing one of these maroon shirts. We'll get you. We'll talk to you or get you to somebody to talk to. Okay? You say, because I don't know that I know. I don't understand what you're talking about. I want to know more. Something's stirring in me. Something's drawing me. Something tells me this is true. But I don't get it. I don't understand. We got all afternoon. We'd love to talk to you about it more. To pray with you. I want you to, if you're willing, would you just take and extend your hands, just kind of like, just like out in front of you. Just extend them. It's a posture of submission. It's a posture of honor, of giving honor. Say, Jesus, you're my king. Today and every day, you're my king. I surrender to you. I believe your power is at work in me and for me and through me. And that you're changing the way I think. And oh God, I want to give you glory. I want to give you glory. In everything. Lord, that's our prayer today. That's our desire. That's how you taught us to pray. That's what you said. You said, pray this way. And don't just say the words. But let you do the work. And so, Lord, that's what we're doing. We're doing more than just saying words. We're letting you do the work of making us look like that. We offer our lives. We give you everything. For those today here that don't know you, Lord, today, may today be that day that they come into relationship with you. They understand who you are. Moved by your Spirit, they respond to you. Lord, make this the day. Don't let them leave without talking to someone, letting us pray with them, encourage them, just to share with them. Lord, as we gather out there today too, there may be other stuff in our life. We may know you, but there's heavy stuff in our life. And we're having a hard time submitting to you as King and believing that your power is enough and thinking the way we're supposed to think. Lord, let the body today encourage the body. In testimony, in prayer, in with your word, with your revelation, would you allow your body to minister to the body today? And the people that we talk to, it's not by accident. Let us have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, do your work among your people. Because this is what church is. Church isn't a building. Church isn't the programs. It's us. It's the people. It's you at work in your people, for your people. So Lord, do your work today. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you for the food that you've provided out there, all the work that's gone into it, all the people who prepared. I pray your blessing on them. I pray that they be encouraged today by what they see and what they experience. Lord, we honor you in all of this. Lord, as we walk out there and we recognize that this place that you've given us to gather, you gave it. It's to your honor and glory. You provided for it. That is also to your honor and glory. It's all about you, Jesus. Every bit of it, it's all about you. And on this glorious day that you give us, that's also a gift from you. And we praise you and we thank you.